Father, we thank you that even today that we trust in your precious, the Lord Holy Spirit to speak to us. Unveil the truths of God's word that is able to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as we continue the studies on no vision, no destiny, as we were going through the life of Joseph. And the main factor that we were just focusing last time is that without vision, people perish or cast off restraint, become disorderly, ungovernable, run wild, break loose, dwell carelessly. They are without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They are without God ruling over them. So they have no restraint. I mean, they come under another power, the prince of the power of the air, which is all out to work through their souls, guiding them. That's exactly what Ephesians chapter 2 says. Guided by the demonic spirits, because we want to live by our minds, by our emotions, by our plans and our understanding instead of God's word and God's plans. Okay. So, let's see now. Joseph had to learn certain things while he was going through the preparation time when God will finally bring the dream that he gave him to fulfillment. Are you following me? God has put a dream within you. There is a vision God has given you. The Bible says, I think it's 37:4 Psalm. Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desire of your heart. Many people take it, well, I have so many desires. So if I delight myself in the Lord and he's going to fulfill my desires, wrong. Wrong, wrong, 100 times wrong. Delight yourself in the Lord means you cannot delight yourself in the Lord without delighting yourself in the word. If you're not excited about God's word, you're not excited about God or his kingdom. When we are excited and full of God's word, speaking about God's word, when we are putting God's word number one in our lives on a daily basis, many Christians, now I think there are many of us over here, we can't even have read one chapter a day. Some of us read probably 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 chapters. But we haven't got, we just say we have no time. So God says, I will never give you time for anything. Because you have forsaken me. No, Lord, I never forsook you. No, you forsook my word. So when we delight in the word of the Lord, that means delighting in the Lord, because God and his word are one. He gives his desires into our heart as our desires. And we so much love to do it. He's the one who gives you the desire and the will to do it. Now, I want to show you some differences that we all should learn. Man's way to greatness and God's way to greatness. When God gives us something, for example, he gives us a call. If you're born again, you have a call. Jesus Christ has caught you for some reason. It's up to you and me to find that out. Oh my God. This is what I say. If you're not excited about that, you're going to be excited about the whatever the things of this world. You've got to be. Either this or that. Either you follow Jesus or the devil. There's nothing in between. Either you go to heaven or hell. There is no purgatory. Man's way to greatness is focus on power. We said, oh, I want power. People want power. Sometimes they just ask for, you know, to be a candidate for in the government, whatever the position that they are voting for. Their inner desire is for power. Power to rule. God's way to greatness is focus on submission. Focusing on submission. But people who are soulish, they focus on power. Man's way to greatness is centered on freedom. How can I be free? How can I be delivered? God's way to greatness is centered on responsibility. See that? Are you responsible for anything? What are the things that you would like to do in the kingdom when we start a day? Man's way to greatness is desire for immediate fulfillment of the vision. Oh, when can I be a pastor? When can I be an evangelist? Is my pulpit is being made? Oh, where shall I run? Desire for immediate fulfillment. How can I get everybody saved? God's way to greatness is desire for permanent achievement. Something that will last. Man's way to greatness is yearning for the praise of men. Oh, wonderful you did. Applause. That's man's way. God's way to greatness is yearning for the approval of God. When God says, well done. Some of you have written that in your vision. I just want to see God, the Lord say, well done. Well done. Is that your motive? Is that your craving for, I want the Lord to say when He comes, well done. You did what you could. Everything. Man's way to greatness is longing for self-satisfaction. How, what can I have? What can I get from this? How can I be blessed? My family. How can I receive this? Self-satisfaction. God's way to greatness, listen, a heart to serve others. How can I give to this family? What can I do to them? Can I help them with some food? Can I help them with something that they need? Can I give a little of my time? A heart to serve others. Jesus said, today and tomorrow, I will cast out demons, I will heal the sick, and on the third day, I shall be perfected. He began that way, He continued that way, He finished it that way. A heart to serve others. Man's way to greatness is need for pushing ahead. You'll push your way through. You'll use anybody in order to achieve your goal. That's what most of the time happens in churches. They'll use anybody. They'll use the youth. They'll use the mothers and fathers. Get their church membership enlarged and put all kinds of gym and, you know, use everyone. Now, God's way to greatness is longing for self-denial and self-control. Taking up the cross. Man's way to greatness is striving to be a leader, to lead man. Don't strive to be a leader. God wants you to be a leader, He'll put you. But again, you cannot be a leader unless you are a servant first. Sometimes, you know, I don't like people carrying my bag. I like to carry myself. I don't know, that's in my heart. I am not against or angry with those who do that, but I just leave it like that. God's way, okay, man's way to greatness is striving to be a leader and to lead man. God's way to greatness is striving to follow God, to follow Him. Man's way to greatness is craving for completion. God's way to greatness is interested in cooperating with the Holy Spirit. You know, God was teaching Joseph. Most of you know the story of Joseph, right? Right? The moment he had the vision, he had a problem. Never knew that he had enemies at home. Bang! The landmine blasted. He was just simply removed. But Joseph never knew he was taking a journey towards the fulfillment of his dreams. Yeah. Leaving dad, leaving all the brothers. So God was teaching him that, Joseph, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must learn to be the servant of all. You must learn that first. Before I make you a leader, I have to make you first. Before I give you the position of a prime minister, I got to make you first. So don't push away the cross. They are misunderstanding me, Pastor. I'm hurt. I was thinking about it and I wept, put my head on my pillows, I weeping. Oh, then you need more brothers like Joseph. True. Matthew 23:11-12, it says, anybody wants to be the first, let him be the last. Anybody wants to be the leader, let him be your servant. The same thing he said in Mark 9:34-35. I want to say about some leaders today. See who your leader is. Check up. Don't just blindly follow. Are you there? You should know where your leader is going. Spiritually, geographically. The greatest challenge and calling of leaders in the body of Christ today is to build others up to fulfill their vision and not to use them to fulfill your own vision. The pastors and the board of directors, whoever the bishops are, what name that they give, archbishops, the elders, they have to see that they fulfill the vision. They help the others to get to their vision fulfilled. They have to be assisting them, not using them to fulfill their own vision. They are great leaders if they do that. Are you there? Yeah. The leader must crave, oh, I want to see what God is going to bring out of these people whom God has given. When you become a leader, you got to be that way. How can I make them? Lord, help me. What can I sow into their lives? And see that their dream is fulfilled. God fulfilled the dream of Joseph to fulfill the dream of the brothers, to give them a desired end, to bless them. Joseph became the prime minister for himself? No. Are you getting this? I know it's Friday night. You're tired. God put him there in the prime minister's place to bless the whole world and to bless especially his household when they come. Joseph. Yeah, I am. Beautiful picture in the story of Jesus Christ as a type whom the Jews forsook. He's coming as the governor of the universe. all the prime ministers and presidents will tremble in their shoes. Yeah. 2 Samuel 5:12. So did you get that what I said? The leader should build up the people so that they see their vision fulfilled, not their own vision. 2 Samuel 5:12. This is a beautiful scripture. I love it. You may love it. 5:12. So David knew, how many of you like David? David is a man after God's heart. He had the way to say things. He's mad. He will tell the Lord, "You don't even care. Where are you?" So David knew that the Lord has established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Somebody got it. Did you get that? Why God established David's kingdom and brought David as king? Somebody tell me. For the sake of Israel. Some of you, you do not even know why we are gathering and why I am here before you. I keep telling you all the time. Not because of myself, because of you. God has seen you. Yeah, I tell my people in Sri Lanka, this place was started by the Lord Holy Spirit. I had no idea. I hated church. I didn't want to be a pastor. In fact, I don't like calling me a pastor. And I mean it. Well, pastor, we have got you through it. Okay, go ahead. I told them, it is because of you. It is because of you. I told them even through the phone, the Lord established this place to give you deliverance from the hand of the enemy and especially witchcraft. To break all kinds of bondages of wizards and witches. And God established this place. Nobody can take it away. You cannot shake it. I know it. So David knew. He saw the palace and he saw his throne and Holy Spirit rise. He knew that God had brought him to a place like this because of who? Israel, his people. So can you just a little bit receive the faithfulness of God, what God is trying to do with your life? No? Yes? No? Yes. Ponder it. When God gives you a servant, a leader, and then pumps you up with time and again with God's word, you take it lightly. And then without any gratitude, thankfulness, and without, I tell you, dangerous. And again, Colossians 1, 24-25. Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord. You're watching over us right now. Help us, O Lord. Colossians 1, 24-25. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in my afflictions of the Anointed One for the sake of his body, which is the church. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. God made Paul a minister to unveil the riches of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And he says, he made me a minister for your sake. Not for my sake. For you. Get it. God sent Jesus Christ and he sent them to the Jews because of Abraham. And they rejected him. You should know whom have been sent to you. Blessed are those people who recognize that. Blessed are those people who recognize that God has sent this person to me. When God wants to bless you, He will send a person into your life. When the devil wants to destroy you, he will send a person also into your life. God sent Boaz to bless Ruth. The devil sent Delilah to destroy Samson. So you better identify who has been sent to you. Who? Okay. Inauguration of the dream, or the path of the vision. Now God is going to take Joseph into different paths in order to fulfill the vision God has given. Now you say, well, I don't have any dream. I never had any dream like that, like Joseph, to say, God gave me these dreams. Some of you have. Shamin had dreams. In fact, vision. It all depends on how precious we take those things. When we take those things, there has been a prophecy over your life, and you just throw it off your back, you know what you're doing? You're throwing the Holy Spirit back. Even on a daily basis, when we don't give first place to the word of the Lord and study it as a spiritual food and then intake it, meditate it, and or we just read it for the sake of reading it, we're not getting anything. And that grieves the Holy Spirit because He's the author. And is it any wonder that we run out for time? We haven't got time for that and time for this and time for that. Oh, I have no time. What's the time? Run. Why? No time. No time for God. No time for anything. So, you have had a desire. You have been delighting in God's word. God has given you the desire. And you have caught a vision, even the vision of your leader, what God has given you. And then that begins to explode. And you are imagining and you are thinking and you are going to places and you are laying hands on people. Man, these are things that God is putting you inside. The imagination, the power, the fourth dimension. Monkeys cannot do that. It is specially given to man. Imagination. You remember the sixth chapter of Genesis, all the imaginations of the heart. Man was evil at that time. And God planned to destroy man. So what is your imagination? What are your dreams? What do you see? Jeremiah. What do you see, Esther? So God now begins to take Joseph in the path where he is going to bring the dream to fulfillment, right? You see, having given us a dream, a vision, God begins to refine it. It takes time. Say, it takes time. The butler's dream was fulfilled in 3 days. You remember the butlers, they were in prison with Joseph. They had each a dream and then, you know, each one a dream and Joseph interpreted the dream and then that was fulfilled within 3 days. God was not calling them for big thing and then, you know, and it was not even, I would say that it was, the dream was given for them by God. It's never mentioned over there. But Joseph gave an interpretation and that came true. There wasn't much to fulfill in their dream. Great dream, great vision needs great preparation. You have your desires now. It's coming to you as pictures. How many of you can say your vision, you picture it in your imagination? Can you put up your hands? You see your vision. Put your hands up. Don't be afraid. You see yourself. For example, you say you have wrote everything there. Now you are thinking, oh, surely you must be having a copy of it, right? What you wrote? You must have a copy. Probably have. And you have to pray. And you imagine. You got to imagine. Because that is power. And say, Holy Spirit, this has to come to pass. Your kingdom extend, O Lord. So there is needs of preparation. You need to prepare. Can you imagine that you are going to England and then not prepare anything? Not even get a passport? Not even get a suitcase for you? What are you going to carry on? Bread loaf bag? As we look to the Lord and stay close to our calling, God begins to take us His way. Isaiah 55:8, everyone knows, right? My ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. All different ways He will take. I wonder, I'd like to ask Joseph, when he was sold and he was going on that wagon, right? What were you thinking, Joseph? Your dream? Do you think about that? Oh, everything was happening the opposite. When we have visions and dreams, watch. Suddenly, there will come a circumstance that you find that our dreams turn into nightmares. What on earth is happening? You have been promised a healing ministry. Your family is falling into sickness all the time. You have been promised a deliverance ministry, and your family is attacked over and over by spirits. You have been promised an overseas ministry to go and do evangelism. There is hardly $5 in your account. Oh God, I can't even go to Montreal. How can I fly? You think like that? Never had money to go to India. And God said, I'm going to take you many places. You will be invited, my son, to many places. Go and preach, my son. Oh, I'm still inside my room. All I could see is that four wall, the small room. I was our everything. Bedroom, studying room, everything. Dressing room. We are totally unaware of the fact that our character development is vital in order to bring the dream to fulfillment. God will begin to shape our character as He moves us towards the dream. See that point? Early fulfillment of the dream or vision will be dangerous. Proverbs 20:21. You all are here? An inheritance gained hastily or hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Can you see that? Whatever hurriedly gained, position, money, whatever, will never be a blessing at the end. Listen to these golden words of wisdom. Your vision will come to pass. Stay close to the Lord. Cry out to Him. Sometimes you may not be able to pray. Maybe Joseph wept many nights. In fact, the psalmist wrote, his soul was in prison. How can you put any soul in prison? Soul is a spiritual thing. It was in fetters of iron. You know, right? They so much pressed him and hurt him. His own people. The character development most of the time will come from the very people who are close to you. God will use them as instruments. And we start blaming, attacking. If God wants to teach you a forgiving, develop a forgiving spirit, the person next to you is going to make mistakes, the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over and over. And you keep shouting, and it'll be over and over. And still you murmur and shout, it'll be over and over. Until you develop that spirit of forgiveness. Yeah, that's the way God does. So inheritance gained hurriedly will never be a blessing at the end. When we try to help God, some of us may try to help Him to fulfill the vision. Always remember, Sarah, you will end up with an Ishmael. God promised a son for Abraham and Sarah, right? And she was barren, and then she said, well, this time is gone now. Look at my, I am too old now. So I think God is going to give me a son through Hagar. And Abraham looked at Hagar. That's it. And that was the result of flesh, self. When we try to help God out of our flesh, Ishmael cannot be avoided. What can we do, Pastor, with Ishmael? Live with him. Can I divorce him? No. Live with him. That's in Genesis 16:2. I mean, that you don't have to go there. Sarah told Abraham to. Saul became king overnight. His character was not developed. So he had his own way. Samuel got delayed. Why not? I have the sacrifice. After all, I'm king. That's it. His character was not developed. He was never near God. He just wanted a position. He was called. He was anointed. But he had no intimacy with God. Are you all listening? No intimacy with God. There was no character development for Saul. God gave Saul as king to the people of Israel in his anger. I gave them a king in my anger. All right, there is something called the birth of the vision. I'm going to give you something. This is very crucial. And there is the death of the vision, and there is the supernatural fulfillment of the vision. Again, I tell you, don't be mistaken about, I never had any dream like Moses, dream like Joseph, or I never had a vision like Daniel, or I never had a vision like Nebuchadnezzar, or even anybody. No, we're not talking about that. It's a desire, it's a vision. Some of you may have in future, or may have even a dream of going to places. Some people had a dream, I believe, those who are here, that there's a building being erected, right? See that? I remember, I think it's appropriate to say that Shamin had a dream that there was a big meeting, and there were a lot of people, there was so much of a crowd. It was the start of the ministry at the time. And then lots, I think, I don't know who, somebody is getting the business cards from people. And mine is also being given. And you know who that person is getting that? You don't know. So the dream is forgotten. And things begin to happen exactly to the opposite side. Most of the time. Each one of us here, you are listening to this, even by cassette or CD. by divine appointment you are hearing these words. You are called if you are born again. You have a purpose. God wants to reveal that purpose and plan for your life to you. The promises and the faithfulness of God are the motivations to continue during the time of discouragement, loneliness, when there is no signs of any fulfillment of the vision or the dream that you have had. That's the death of the vision. And God takes us through a path quite opposite to all our imaginations. You cannot imagine. Opposite to everything, all of our expectations, in order to make that dream fulfilled. Why? Because He takes the glory. Don't say, well, Joseph say, well, I interpreted the dream, I became the prime minister. No, sir. No. All right, here we are. Birth of a vision. Abraham had a vision of being a father of many nations, having many children. Genesis 12:2. I will make you a nation. Do you know that? 12:2. Genesis. I'm telling you right now, if you have not surrendered your life to the Lord unreservedly, if you have not following the Lord Jesus Christ, taking up your cross, this message will not be profitable for you. You will be irritated. You've got to connect yourself with Jesus Christ first, because He has that secret plan for you. Don't miss it. I never dreamt. I had absolutely nothing to come over here, even to speak to some of you. I'm so glad. The Lord is sowing His purpose in your life. And the time will come for harvest. Genesis 12:2. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And then Abraham knew, so what is all this, Lord? Why do I need all these things? I don't have any children. You see, verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Can you imagine that? He's sleeping inside the room and God says, come out, Abraham. And he comes out and look up now. And he looks up all those stars and twinkling and some are bright. And he says, your children shall be like this, Abraham. And he can't even hardly see, because his eyes are full of tears. How can he have so much of children? Look at Sarah. My God. God gave him something to meditate. And after that, every time he came out at night, just to think about God and looked at the sky, what he would have thought? My children. My children. See, he gave him something to focus. He has given you something to focus, I'm sure. Don't you have anything to focus? Then you're not going anywhere. You will end up in the wrong place. Now, the death of the vision. Years passed by. Sarah was barren. Sarah was barren at the beginning. 11:30. Genesis. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. She was barren at that time. Early days. You think that she was barren only after 50? You think, oh well. Now Abraham is 99 and she is 89. She was barren all the time. And when she became old, it became so worse. So you have no absolutely expectation. Me having a child? No. No wonder she thought of Hagar. But that's the way the Lord works. Me, pastor, evangelist, me, a teacher, me. Yeah. Yeah. Why? God chooses that way. He gets the glory. Say amen. So don't you worry about your. Don't you ever try and fulfill your dream and bring forth an Ishmael. So the depth of the vision came. She lost hope. Genesis chapter 16, 2. And she told again to have Hagar. I mean, she lost all hope. Genesis 18, 11 and 12. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah has passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being so old also? My Lord Abraham is older than me. How can I have, going to have children? So all hope was gone. There comes the death of the vision. Right? The birth of the vision is God promising them, you can have a child. Are you understanding? Now comes. God gave them Isaac and brought the vision to fulfillment. And almost they are 100 years old now. And he gets the glory and everybody laughs. And that's what the name is, Isaac, laughter. Go on laughing. It's a promised child. God will bring about that vision that's birthed in you. If you stick to him and stay close to him. Keep on looking at the stars. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder. God will bring that to pass. I remember at the very start, our church was being built and then we were just breaking and then trying to build some walls around us. And then, you know, everyone was working and there were lots of others who were trying to serve food, prepare food for the workers. All of us, there are some who are here who are involved in that. And suddenly everything turned up to a nightmare. And I went that way to New Zealand and this way they all wept and things like that. Now 13 years nearly, Joseph's dreams took 13 years for fulfillment. I just realized yesterday. I said, Lord, enough. Joseph had a vision that he would be a great leader one day. Brothers picked him up. Picked up something from the dream. He said, are you going to be our ruler? He said, can you get a glimpse? Well, God is trying to even speak through those people who are opposing him. You're going to be ruler? And Joseph must have got a click. Oh, ruler? And death of the vision. His own brothers took him and sold him. And then he was later sold as a slave, became a slave. Later was falsely accused of Potiphar's wife. Ended up in a prison. Genesis 39, 14. The keeper of the prison did not look to anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did was prosper. Now, excuse me. 40:23, chapter 40, verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember but forgot him. He had to spend another 2 years in prison. He thought that he's going to get out. There came death to his vision. He couldn't get out of the prison and he just remained there. There was no way the dream is anywhere going to be fulfilled. God allowed Joseph to interpret the dream of the butler and baker and later the king, which elevated him as ruler. Genesis 41:40. You shall be over my house and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. So said Pharaoh, only in regard to the throne I will be greater than you. God allowed Joseph, time came that he will interpret the dream of Pharaoh. He thought the butlers are going to get him out. The time was not yet. So the dream became fulfillment. Moses had a vision of being a leader. Acts 7:23 to 25. Watch this. Acts 7:23 to 25. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck him down, the Egyptian. He killed him. Moses was a murderer. And yet God used him, eh? That doesn't give you a license for you and me to go and murder. The next day, he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren, why do you wrong with one another?" But he who did this neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" See, Moses thought that they were going to recognize him as a leader at that time. Wrong time. Wrong time. You know, he wanted to go and solve their problem, and then he tried to even kill the Egyptian. You know, you want to show them probably that I am the, hey, look, I am your savior. And then everything turned, the curtain closed. Pharaoh came to know, he ran for his life, not knowing for 40 years he's going to be in the backside of the desert. Not even the desert, backside. See? So Moses had the vision, and then death of the vision. For 40 years he was just all alone. And then one day God said, "Moses, Moses." God initiated the resurrection of his dream, of his vision. God started it. He said, "Come, I will send you." And you know what he said? "Who am I, Lord?" "What do you mean, who am I?" "Moses is dead. I'm 80. What ministry? What leader? I can't even talk properly. You want me?" "Yes, Moses, I've got to be with you." And God gave him signs to perform, to show Pharaoh, brought with a mighty hand, and Moses brought Israel out of Egypt. Amen. Birth of the vision, death of the vision, resurrection, the supernatural fulfillment of the vision. What are you going through? "Yes, I had the birth of the vision. Looks like I am experiencing the death of the vision." Don't stop there. The disciples of Jesus Christ had a vision that the kingdom will be set up after them when Jesus was there. They said, "Wow, wow, we are going to be delivered from the hands of the soldiers, the Roman government." And they were to take an important part in that kingdom. So they expected any time Jesus to show supernatural power and signs to so that it will drive the soldiers who were really giving them trouble, pressing them down like the Egyptian taskmasters. Well, there came the time when they had the vision died, the death. The synagogue, the Sanhedrin, took Jesus and crucified him, killed him. Their vision died. Death of the vision. Because they knew the Messiah is going to just set up the kingdom. But now to see he's hanging on the cross. What? Oh no. See? Luke 24:19 to 21. This is interesting. Some of you know it. I like the passage very much. Luke 24:19 to 21. As these two brothers, they were two men were walking on the street after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were talking about the things that happened. And then he also went near them. And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, Luke 24:19, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Can you see that? Their hope was gone. "We were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all things, today is the third day since all these things happened." And what happened? And all their hopes were gone. God resurrected Jesus Christ and made him to walk with them and then talk with them on the street. And there were things we're worried of. The resurrection of the vision. See that? So, my dear brothers and sisters, the inauguration of the dream, the vision God gives us, the desire, the purpose, the calling, the things that he puts within, the things that your heart desire, you want to do for the Lord, and becomes pictures in your mind. You got to see it. You got to see it. You got to see it. You have to see it daily. There's something is coming into my mind. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what I have to say. I had a dream last night. I'm just commanding from an upper floor. Somebody whom I know they're trying to cast out a demon from him. And then I'm shouting from him, "In the name of Jesus." And I saw him going behind. Pah! Just brought it to my memory just now. I don't know. So hold on to it. God is taking you somewhere. Without vision, you will perish. You will run wild. You will be caught by the things of this world. You will be dragged into. You will never come under the control of the Holy Spirit. You will pray and use God. You will use him to bless you, to bless your church, to bless that and bless this. Soulish people always will use God. Like Pharaoh, like Jacob, like those people who went after Jesus. And Jesus said, "You're coming after, you know why? Because of the loaves and fish." But spiritual people say, "Lord, what did you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord?" Paul asked, "Here is my life. Take this clay. Lord, birth that vision. That thing, that desire, that plan within my heart. And I cooperate with you." Amen. This is what you must meditate on these things. There is the birth of the vision. There is the death of the vision. And there is the resurrection, the supernatural fulfillment of the vision. So do everything that you need to do and prepare and learn that God is shaping up the character. The things that are lacking in us, breaking and molding and melting and changing circumstances and teaching you and strengthening you and encouraging you to run forward. Even though he wasn't put in prison, Joseph, God gave favor inside. Isn't that right? And God was waiting until Joseph was prepared to go to the throne. So that he will, when he sees his brothers coming, he will not say, "You guys, I got you. I've been waiting for all these years. You see who I am now? What did you say, Reuben? What did you say, Natalie? You put me inside the dungeon?" No. You know what happened to Joseph? He went and wept. He went and wept. Compassion. He knew, you brought evil to me, but God was meant it for good. Only God can change evil into good. Sometimes we forget this. We need to remind ourselves, encourage one another. Do we encourage one another? We don't. Do we appreciate one another? Some of you may think that you don't need to say anything to me. Pastor doesn't need encouragement. Pastors don't need at all. They are strong. The most depressed man on earth, the servant of God, was Martin Luther. And he says, the servants of God get attacks, all kinds of things people do not know. And they can pray, they get so lonely and drained out. Where they just go like a deflated balloon. Nobody to call. No one to talk to. Yeah, sure. I heard through Pastor Ben Hinn, I heard through so many servants of God are lonely. So brothers and sisters, think about this. It's your life. Don't waste it. You have a plan. You have a destiny. Don't look back. Don't look back. May the Lord bless you. Amen.